Hello, hello again, everybody. This is Greg Berger here on Unfinished Music, and today I'm once again joined by my co-host, Mark Laura. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Greg. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. And our guest today is Lindsay Page Garfield.
Hi.
So, how are you doing, Lindsay?
I'm well. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing all right. Well, thanks for coming by. You want to start us off with a song?
Thanks for having me. Yeah. All right. The song I wrote about Los Angeles. Seems like something is wrong. All these people, they're clinically insane. Feels like I just don't belong. And it's alright, and it's alright with me. Don't you know who I am? Hollywood and Vine, velvet ropes and French wine. Party till 6 a.m. And it's all right, and it's all right with me. Yeah, yeah, and it's all right, and it's all right. Thank you.
So you said you wrote it about Los Angeles. It must be a story behind it.
What's that?
It must be a story behind it then.
Yeah, I guess there's a story behind it. I think it's just like, don't you know who I am? Like, you know, people who are pretty self-important and want to, I don't know, they've got something to prove. It's very ego-driven. You know, it's all the cliches are there for, you know, a reason, I think, the stereotypes. It's hard to know who to trust, I think. I'm kind of painting a bad picture of LA. I mean, I met some wonderful people there, but I think it takes a while to figure out who's your friend and who's not your friend and who's going to actually do what they say they're going to do and who's just trying to blow smoke up your ass, you know. So
yeah, a lot of hype.
There's a lot of hype.
The picture you're painting makes sense because everyone goes out there and immediately like, well, I'm going to be a star.
Yeah, or they go out there to work with artists, but a lot of it is, you know, how many followers do you have, and it's just very image based, and I don't know. I mean, I wrote a lot of music when I was out there. I wrote a ton of like commercial music actually, but it didn't feel like I didn't feel authentic when I was there. I didn't write a lot of songs for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was all like, oh, I could place this in a TV ad or a TV show or a film.
Yeah, you even said it in the song.
Yeah.
You made reference to the fact that that you personally were lost.
Yeah.
You didn't feel like you were part of the scene.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know. It's a lot of extremes, I guess. So
you're originally from this area?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So why don't you tell us about your travel westward and then what brought you there and what brought you back?
So I grew up in Swampscott and doing theater and singing in my cousin's band. And my cousin is now, like, he plays guitar with Erykah Badu, and he's a professional orchestrator. And,
wow.
I know, it's so wild. I sang with him at his bar mitzvah. But I didn't really do my own. I started writing songs when I was a little kid. I think my first song I wrote when I was, like, 9. And then I did a lot of theater. And in college, I studied voice and music business. I went to University of Miami. And I made my first EP there and moved to San Francisco. My mom had moved to the Bay Area when I was in college, and I visited and was like, yeah, this is fine. I'll live here. And I didn't have any money after school, so I crashed with mom for my first year. And then I just like immediately started a band, and it was not good at all. And I'm so glad that those songs are not online anywhere. I'm really thankful that no one could ever find them. It was kind of great too. Actually, one of the guys in my band was from Beverly, and that was just, I just met him on Craigslist. Wow. Yeah. And it was this cool coincidence. I just played like coffee shop scenes and that kind of thing. And then, I actually spent, about 6 months in South America just doing some traveling, and came back, and I was like super hungry. I was like 23 or 24. I just really wanted to get going on something new, and I put an ad up on Craigslist again, and I was looking for a guitarist to kind of start a new project, and this guy responded, this guy named Alex, and he wanted a singer for his band. And we met in Washington Square Park in San Francisco and in North Beach, sat on a bench and played some tunes together. And it was like this like magical thing that just we totally clicked, and our voices sounded really nice together. And I was like, I just want to do what you're doing, because he was such a great songwriter. And then we started this band. We had like 7 or 8 people in the band. We were playing in living rooms, and we didn't know what the hell we were doing at all. It was just, let's just do this. We all knew we wanted to play like country rock, and so like lots of harmonies, and lots of instruments. And then, you know, I don't know, it just kind of took off. It was this, we had this real momentum. And that band, we were called Or the Whale, which was the subtitle for the book Moby Dick, Or the Whale. And we started touring in 2006, and then we signed with a record label, and we ended up doing international touring, and we played on like TV and NPR and festivals and all that stuff, made a bunch of records, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was And then that band ended, kind of, we closed up shop in 2011. And then I started my own band, Page and the Thousand. And my middle name's Paige. And had that band for, I don't know, I made a couple records under that name and did some touring. I went down to Argentina and did a tour there. I had a friend who has a folk band, an American folk band in Argentina. And I met him, he was playing, he was busking at a train station in San Francisco. And I was like, who is this kid like singing Neil Young with an Argentinian accent? And we became friends. And so, yeah, he said, come on down to Argentina. There's this big scene in Buenos Aires where they just play American folk music and country. And I was like, okay. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I moved to LA in 2014, the end of 2014, 2015, early 2015, and got into songwriting and worked my butt off and wrote a bunch of songs for TV and film and worked with an agent and met a lot of really, I painted a really shitty picture. Oops, sorry, a really crappy picture.
No FCC regulation.
Okay. of LA, but no, I did have a good time.
Well,
there.
That's the dark side. I mean, there's two sides. It's like, you know, Boston, any major city you're going to go into, you got the scammers. You got the people who they just want to take your money.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, they talk this really big game about being able to get you somewhere.
Yeah. And just pay me $300 and I'll promote you or buy these tickets to our venue and sell them, you know, knowing that you'll never be able to sell them because nobody knows who you are.
Right.
They take advantage of people in LA and, or just they, you know, just asking people to play for free. Everyone wants to play for free in LA because they think they're going to get discovered, which doesn't happen. That was a big bummer. But I did meet some fabulous people and recorded. I think I made the equivalent of like four records. And it's all unpublished stuff that I've shopped for TV and film. And
is any of this stuff available now or no?
It's not published. Okay. No. Maybe in the future. It's really not what I want.
More soundtrack stuff?
Yeah, soundtracky, like songs that sound like they should be in commercials, that kind of thing. It was fun because I just was like, I could totally stretch myself as a writer and just try new things, you know? Oh, I'm going to write a hip-hop song today. Okay, I'm going to write a pop song today. Sure. So that was really, I was the most creative, like, 4 years of my life. Yeah.
So what, why don't we talk a bit, because you mentioned Or the Whale.
Yeah.
Because why don't we promote a bit what's on your website? Because you sent me there and I found the link to the NPR show. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we played NPR Mountain Stage. That was back in 2010. And it's this live show we did it at the Huntington Theater in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And
actually, I'm a fan.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
I try to tune in every Sunday. So I saw that and I was like, Saturday or Sunday, they run reruns. I'm like, no, that really great show. I mean, I the venue, from what they what it sounds like, because it's a live audience and it's, you know, they have a lot of really great people on there.
Yeah.
So that must have been.
It was a really wonderful experience. All of the performers were really stellar. And they were most of the performers were more rootsy than we are, like what we were. We were sort of indie folk. But we played our first record was really country. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of one of those shows I'll always remember, I'll always think back to fondly, because it was just so well produced and, you know, and it was just such an honor to be on NPR. Kind of reminds me of Prairie Home Companion, similar kind of vibe, you know. That was cool, yeah, and then we got to play on Good Morning America, which was also really crazy. One of the producers just liked us, and they were doing this series of the Seven Wonders of America. Kind of silly. But one of the wonders of America is the Golden Gate Bridge, and they contacted us and wanted us to perform in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. So we were like, yes, we will. And they contacted us like 2 days before the show. So it was really, we just kind of threw it together. And it was a lot of fun. We had to get up like at 2 a.m. and we had to be there at 4, and then we were on 4:30 or something crazy.
Wow.
Because it aired at like, you know, 7 a.m. on the East Coast. So, yeah. And they were like, when we asked them, how many people are going to be watching? And they're like, oh, about a million.
No stress.
Million. Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah, just go and then play in front of the bridge. You'll be fine.
I realized later that that was a really low number. Like, it was more like 6 million. Yeah. But I think they didn't want to freak us out. So, you know.
Because 1 million wouldn't freak you out. 6 would.
Yes, yeah. So, right. Exactly. I know. Well, after a million, it's like, come on. It's like all the same. But it's funny. We had friends who were just watching, and they kind of saw us and freaked out. And, so that was cool. Yeah, we did a UK tour too. We toured the UK, and there was a lot of really fun stuff.
Yeah,
it was really experience of a lifetime.
Broaden your perspective on things, yeah, too.
And just like a lot of traveling. Like, I've seen 45 states. We had, you know, we met all kinds of people. People took us in every town. We would sleep on so many, I slept on so many floors. And, you know, it was, that was the best part, I think, just meeting all the people and realizing that you have fans in this, like, tiny town in Indiana. You know, you never would have guessed that. They heard you on like college radio, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about
college radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, college radio is really good for that, for promoting, you know, unknown bands or bands that are just breaking into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I miss it a little, but you know, I'm here now, so.
You have such a great radio voice that I'm sure everyone tells you that, but
yeah, you have a face for radio.
No, I wasn't going to say that joke.
Well, that's what me and Greg did a project together, well, two projects together.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about the show, and I was like, yeah, I would love to go do it again because of that. You know, I mean, I'm a big, huge fan of music. I play music, and I love music. And, you know, the stories about sleeping on people's couches, I remember when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And playing in bands and just showing up and, you know, like, where are we staying tonight?
Yeah, who's going to take us in? And we were 7 people.
Yeah.
So they had to be really generous to let us. A lot of times we had to split up, like, all over town, you know, and...
Right,
sometimes we stayed at some horrible motel or slept in the van. There were the nights where we had to sleep in the van, too.
But, you know, I mean, that paints the real picture of a working musician who's out there and doing your craft and trying to make it to the next level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us had that dream, but we only saw the stardom.
Yeah.
We didn't see the behind the scenes. And then when you go and you do it,
the reality is I mean, that's why the band broke up, because our lead singer and his wife, they had to start making babies because her clock was ticking and that was going to be it. Her window was closing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was the reason why the band was so successful. Everyone was like, oh, Yoko, you know, they're called. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, she was the whole inspiration for the band, because our lead singer was, you know, he was the glue. And she supported him through the whole thing, you know? Like, I realized I spent over 2 years on the road. So that's 2 years. And I introduced them. So I know that she also spent 2 years without him while we were in the band.
Wow. Yeah.
2 full years. Yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah, that takes its toll on a relationship.
It really does. Yeah, I saw two relationships totally flourish. And then I saw two relationships end up in marriage, and then I saw two marriages dissolve before my eyes. So it's really yin and yang. Like, it's beautiful and horrible and everything in between, you know, having that experience. And I don't, you know, want to do that again because I'm too old now. But, you know, I still want to play and perform, and, you know, when and where I can, I guess.
Well, once it's in your blood, it never leaves you.
No.
You know, I mean, people say that, you know, you're still playing. I'm like, why ask that question?
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Have I ever stopped? Well, yeah, I did, you know, and yeah, it was a marriage thing. And
yeah.
And once I started playing again, it's like, no.
You always come back to
I'm
it.
I'm going to do this until I can't do it anymore.
It's pure joy, you know? It's just, why stifle that?
Right.
You know?
Well, why don't we, this is a good segue into the pure joy. Let's talk about, want to do another live song?
Oh, no. What were you going to say?
I was going to say we could hit one off your EP.
Yeah.
And so what would you like to play from the EP? Play the Martyr, Let's Descend?
Play the Martyr is kind of a fun one. I wrote that about a boss, my boss. I quit this job in a huff one day. I was working at this restaurant and I had this horrible manager, and he was like a real tyrant, and he was a cokehead, and he was just really manipulative and cruel. He wouldn't let us eat at all at any point anywhere during the shift, like 6 hour long shift.
Wow.
You'd have to ask him to use the restroom. He was terrible. I mean, they were violating so many labor laws. Excuse me. And I just, like, I have a really thin threshold for abuse, so I just, like, left one day. I was like, I don't need this stinking job. I did need the job. Living in San Francisco, it's not cheap. But I couldn't, you know, I just, so then I was on the bus, like, you know, crying about what, you know, finding a job, and I was like, I just started writing the song about him. And so, yeah, it's called Play the Martyr.
So this is your version of Take This Job and Shove It, basically.
Kind of, yes, yes.
All right,
exactly.
So this is Play the Martyr.
That I'm unwilling to repent, and you push down harder. You can force my respect, so I've become the derelict, and you push down harder. So I guess I'll play the martyr again. Snow falls fast on your face, and out from the frost you will taste this bitter place. Beauty is lost in this state, and you cannot appreciate, and you're always smarter. So I guess I'll play the martyr again.
All right, that was Play the Martyr. And you told him.
I told him, well, kind of, yeah.
Did you ever send him a link to the song?
No, I don't think he'd want to hear that. No. But yeah, that was fun making that record, actually. It was like this multi-pronged process. I had my friends come in. We recorded in a studio up in Marin County, which is like north of San Francisco. And then we kind of laid down the basic tracks there. And then my cousin, his name's Mike Feingold. He's the one I was talking about earlier who plays with Erykah Badu. And he's been playing with jazz and R&B artists primarily, but he really wanted to get into producing. So we had talked about collaborating for years, and the last time we had collaborated was for his bar mitzvah. So
13, is that?
Yeah, 13.
Wow, okay.
So I'd sent him the songs, and he said I want to produce this. So I sent him the kind of the raw tracks, and then we hired some more musicians. We did like a fundraiser, we did a Kickstarter,
yeah,
and we hired some great players, people I would never have had access to if I didn't know him. So Patrick Warren is on there, and he plays piano for Bob Dylan. He's incredible. We have
who's the mandolin player?
That's my cousin.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's Mike. Yeah, he plays like 12 instruments on. Yeah, I mean, just him having him is
so
like incredible.
So like he played guitar, mandolin.
He played like dobro and like glockenspiel, like all these like some like toys that he got at a thrift store, and he just really. I mean, if you listen to it, there's so much stuff in there. I mean, it's
and real legit, not MIDI. It's all real instruments.
It's all real instrument. Yeah, it's all audio. Yeah, and Blake Mills plays guitar. He plays with Fiona Apple, and he's a wonderful artist in his own right. So yeah, it was kind of a dream. I didn't need any of these people. They all recorded in their own
remote
studios.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all remote.
Technology is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I am happy about that record. I'm like, you know how it goes. I'm like a little over the songs, but just because it's been so long, you know. But I'm really pleased with how it sounds, So it was a fun process.
Well, quick station ID here. This is Greg Berge here on Unfinished Music. Today, my guest co-host is Mark Laura. Mark.
Hello, hello, hello.
And our musical guest in studio is Lindsay Garfield. And again, thanks for coming, Lindsay. So in your story, to this point, you're still in California. So
yes.
So Alyssa, what about
so,
the...
So when I... Let's see, it was February of 2019. I'll rewind a little bit. In October of 2018, I started feeling weird, and I didn't know what was going on. I was having like a lot of strange symptoms that didn't connect, and I had like tendonitis everywhere, and I was exhausted and really depressed, and couldn't eat a lot, and that kind of like ebbed and flowed. Like I would have these like little waves of this, and then I would kind of get better. And then something would happen. I would like work out really hard or something, and then I would start feeling all the symptoms again. And it just started getting progressively worse. And in February of 2019, it all kind of came to a head. I went hiking with a friend, and we like really worked out hard, and then I could barely walk the next day. And, I realized, at this point that it was side effects from a drug I took for, I had a kidney infection, and I took a fluoroquinolone antibiotic, which is Cipro, Levaquin, Avalox, like that family of drugs. And I did some research and realized that I had the symptoms of FQAD, which is fluoroquinolone-associated disability, and basically poisoning.
Wow.
I was poisoned by a neurotoxin that's used to treat like kidney infections and like sinus infections, like
wow.
A really common
right
common drug, And I'd been taking this class of drugs for years for these different things that I was going through, these medical issues, and had no idea that this could, like, it basically destroyed my body at a mitochondrial level, and caused neurological damage and severe tendinopathy and depression. And I mean, you know,
all the fine print that they don't tell you about.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, there's like a black box warning for them, and your doctor's supposed to tell you about that, but they don't, because they don't care. They just like, oh, this works. And it does. It works really well, but it's like an atom bomb in your body. And unfortunately for me, I wasn't, so I don't know why it happens to some people and doesn't happen to some others. But for me, it was a significant reaction, and I couldn't work. I couldn't like move. I lost like 20 pounds in like 6 weeks and couldn't eat. And I was so anxious. Like I couldn't even leave the house. And slowly I started to rebuild my body. I just did I basically made it my full-time job to research this stuff. And I joined Facebook groups for people who have gone through this. And I slowly started to get better. But I knew that I just needed to go home. You know, I was like, I just want to be with like a parent. My mom lives in California and my dad lives here in my hometown in Swampscott. And my mom is, her husband has a lot of health issues, and it didn't make sense for me to go there. So I came home, and I never thought that I would ever, ever come back here. And it's so weird how, like,
the circle of life.
Like, I just never, ever envisioned myself back here. But I have to say, like, I'm really loving it. And I'm weirdly happier than I was living in LA. Like, I have this job that I really love, and I'm with family, and
you're playing, and you're healthier. And
yeah, I'm healthier. I'm like reconnecting with old friends, and I still have to be really careful. It's just an extremely high maintenance person. Like I take like 30 supplements a day, and like I can't eat like a lot of things, and I have to get a lot of sleep. Like there's just like, I have to be super careful. I can't work out. But I don't know. I'm just like, I think when you're so low and you feel like you might die, it sounds like such a cliche, but it's just something that you don't know about until you're in it. And if you've really been through hell and you've gotten out, then everything else just feels kind of like heaven, you know? And so, I mean, not every day is like super rosy, but overall I feel like I've just had a bit of a metamorphosis since I've started to get better.
And also a lot less stress. I mean,
you're in
familiar territory.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. I also think the water really helps. I think there's a lot of healing, you know, they say there's healing ions in the water, just being near the ocean, just even seeing the water, I think has healing, like there's healing properties and just the actual visual.
I can relate a little bit.
View.
I went through a divorce years ago, and one of my godsends was that my parents had a little place on the Connecticut shore, and
mm-hmm.
it was just so serene to go and just mm-hmm. lay on the beach and listen to the waves.
Yeah.
It was like you just go into this trance.
Yeah.
And you just start connecting with your inner self again, which, mm-hmm. you know, people always said, move. I'm like, I got to be wild water. I can't be landlocked.
Yeah.
I wouldn't survive.
I've actually always lived in, and I've lived in a lot of places, and it's always been on like in coastal areas, but in LA, I was pretty far from the ocean. I mean, it would be like half an hour drive to the ocean, which, you know, and I didn't get there very much. So, now I live 5 minutes from the water, and I think it really does make a difference. So that's why I'm here, and you know, get me in front of a microphone, and I will talk about it because I just feel like I want to tell as many people as possible: don't take fluoroquinolone antibiotics. Like, don't take a drug at all unless you do your research. That's what I'm going to say. Like, do your research, get second opinions, see if there are alternatives. There's always an alternative, you know. Even like, you know, doctors aren't. They're not gods. They're people, and they make mistakes. Big mistakes.
Well, I think you have the makings of a new song. In the lyric, I don't know if you noticed what you said, but you said, if you've been through hell, everything else seems like heaven. So you might want to jot that down. You've got yourself a nice lyric going.
I'll remember it. Yeah. I am writing a song about it. Yeah. I'm writing like a rock song, and the lyrics are like, it's like, pharmacology is the enemy. Pharmacology is the end of me, you know. I just, like, really want to scream about it because it's just so maddening.
He's got an anthem song going
on. Yeah, it's kind of, like, big and anthemic. But I definitely want to write a record this year because it's, like, I have a lot to say.
Yeah, great.
Well, it sounds like you've been through a lot, and then there's a lot there, a lot of substance,
yeah,
a lot of change.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want to hit us up with another live song?
Yeah, I'm just gonna
tune up.
I'll just move my chair a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Get yourself comfortable. So, well, we're getting comfortable here again. Greg Verga on Unfinished Music on MSONewsSports.com. Today we're joined by Mark Laura as their co-host, and our guest is Lindsay Garfield. So, what are you going to play for us, Lindsay?
I don't know if I have a name for this song. It's a new one, and I wrote this to basically because I wanted to write a hopeful song. I was kind of in the trenches, and I was asked to play a hopeful song. I'm a Buddhist, so I was at a Buddhist meeting, and I didn't have any, so I had to write one. So this is it. Child, he walked with his arms swinging and wandering eyes open wide. The brook was a river and boulders were mountains. The world was anew and alive. It began to rain. Lightning crawled across the sky. The tears and the water, the beauty and the pain. And then the sun and all was right. And all that we are is a constellation of stars. We shine brighter, brighter in the dark. And all that we are is the sum of our scars. And we hold on until the dawn. Howling at the door, and crow's feet scratching at his eyes, and papers piled up, spilling onto the floor, and silver wires growing wild. The heavens break. Night engulfs the day, and weary fire. A storm is a beacon, a harbinger of change. A silent sun is on the rise, and all that we are is a constellation of stars, and we shine brighter, brighter in the dark. And all that we are is a sum of our scars, and we hold on, hold on until the dawn. And all that we are is a constellation of stars, and we shine brighter, brighter in the dark. And all that we are is a sum of our scars, and we hold on, hold on until the dawn.
Sweet song.
Thank you.
So that was uplifting.
Thank you.
Than your, so I guess you fulfilled your mission, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Let me get your reverb off here. There you go. That's better. So what do you, when you're typically writing, I mean, how do you, what's your process?
It depends. I think if I'm writing, like if I've got my guitar out, it's usually like the standard, like I've got like a chord structure and then I sing over that and like, you know, I figure out a melody, and sometimes lyrics come at the same time. Sometimes they don't, or I have some sort of dummy lyrics and then I fill them in with things that make sense afterwards, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the other way is that I'm like, you know, in some altered state, like I'm drunk or I'm hungover or I'm exhausted or I'm in the shower, which is like, right, kind of like an altered state, because you're like, you know, it's like meditative. Mm-hmm. And or I'm like driving, and that's, cause you're sort of hypnotized when you're driving, and then just things sort of bubble up and like come out, and then I'll just like lay it down on my phone before it goes away, and then I'll go back to it or not, depending on how lazy I'm feeling that day. I have like, I don't know, the seeds of like 500 songs in my phone right now. I'm just like,
wow.
Always writing, wow, little bits. Yeah. I'm always writing. I have like these like digital recorders from like 15 years ago that I haven't even listened to. Like, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what, if there's that buttons like always pressed to on. So when I'm at work, I'm a waiter, like I'll just like, I'm always singing, and sometimes I'll stand next to someone and they'll go, what? And I'm like, oh, I'm just singing. I'm like totally obsessed with singing and writing. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like me at rest, you know? So yeah. And then I also co-write, like if I'm writing something for like another, like if I'm writing with an artist and they want a little help, I really like doing that too. And I have a really specific process for co-writing, and it's usually like we hang out, we chat for a long time, like an hour, get to know each other if we don't already, or just like catch up if we're already friends, just so we can sort of start breaking down barriers. And then we do like what I call a brain dump around the topic, and we write down different phrases and ideas. And it's this very 21st century. We actually use a Google Doc, or I find it works best, because then you can both edit at the same time. And then, we find the hook, and then we start from the hook, and then we flesh the rest out from there. And that's like the tried and true method for me for co-writing, for writing with another person. And it's been very successful.
So your method with co-writing is you both co-write music and lyrics, or as would someone say, here's a piece of music. What do you think?
That's usually how it works. Mm-hmm. For I I mean, I like the other way too, just like jamming. If someone's like on piano and I'm like singing melodies, I haven't done a whole lot of that lately, but I do enjoy that too. I don't know. I like the idea of like demystifying the process to make it, you know, to make it productive. Like when I was in LA, that's what I would do. If we had like a 3-hour session, we would do that, you know, the brain dump. And then by the end of 3 hours, we'd have a full song.
Oh, wow.
And it, every time, almost every time, if not, we'd come back and do one more session again, you know, but.
So getting to the finished product, do you hear the other parts in your head too, or no? And do you leave that more towards your producer or your co-writer?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can tell. I'm not really much of an instrumentalist. I kind of strum along to myself. But I have gotten better at that. So I, you know, just from being in studios and working with really great producers, just like doing a lot of listening, I'm now a lot better at being like, this needs organ or this needs electric here. Or I'm hearing this line and I'll kind of hum it out, like, you know. I feel like I've earned the title of producer, but only very recently and only in more of an esoteric sense.
Cool.
I think people who are more her technical and know, recording programs and they would laugh at me because, I also think that I have a lot to offer in that way.
The thing with that also is you need an ear, you know, I mean, it's not all produced. I mean, some producers are really technical, but when it comes right down to it, the personal touch of the artist or
like engineer group. Versus producer.
Yeah, exactly.
The last few songs that I made, I was in charge of this session, like 100%. I'd be like, this is the way it's going to sound. This is where we're going to do it. This, you know, and, I wouldn't play any of the instruments, but I would tell them exactly what I wanted, and then they do it. So I do feel like, you know, in a sense, but I would love to, you know, I really want to continue my musical education and, like, start taking some guitar lessons again. And
speaking of which, that's a rather nice guitar.
You just took the words right out of my mouth.
I saw that when you walked in. I'm like, ooh, it's a Taylor.
It's a Taylor, yeah. It's a mini Taylor. It's a GS Mini.
Yeah.
And it's...
You have a story behind that?
Well, I don't know. My grandmother bought it for me. She passed away and left me some money. And I bought it right after she passed. So I always think about her when I think about this guitar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Great sound, and nice short scale for.
Yeah, I have little these mini like doll wrists, and I can't like play. And I also have tendonitis, so this is good for me.
Jeez. I feel your pain.
Yeah, I wear one of those.
Yeah,
I've got one in my bag. Yeah. I wear it at work.
I've got a tennis elbow in my left hand and golfers in my right. And I don't play either. I'm a left-handed bass player, so that's what
it is. Oh, you're a left-handed bass player.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. So, did you turn it upside down?
My very first one.
Which is on the wall.
My very first one is reverse strings, but now I've gone, you know.
Yeah.
I was poor in high school, that's all I could do. But.
Yeah. I have a good friend who's a left-handed bass player, and that's what he did growing up in St. Louis.
Yeah.
He couldn't find one or couldn't afford one, so that's what he did.
Yeah, actually.
All self-taught.
My that blonde Rickenbacker there, I had to drive to New Hampshire to get, you know, when I was in high school. And all the other stuff I had to buy online sight unseen because you can't really find anything in the shops.
No.
So there's no test driving if you're a lefty.
Yeah.
Unless you're really lucky.
Right.
But why don't we play the other song, Joe? It's out of reach. Hold it.
Yeah.
Let's Descend?
Let's Descend,
Let's Descend. Okay. While I'm queuing that up, you have want to talk a bit about it?
So there's a film that was made in the 80s called Wings of Desire. And this it's like a cult film. And it's about fallen angels. And when I was writing, I was inspired to write this song based on the film, and it uses some of the poetry in the film. And I actually wrote to Wim Wenders, who's the director, and asked him for permission to publish it, and he agreed, which was really cool. And when I was writing the song, I heard a counter melody in my ear, as if someone was singing in my ear, like an angel singing.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I'll say about this.
Excellent. Well, let's give a listen. This is Let's Descend by Lindsay Garfield.
Take me, muse, I'm your immortal singer. Outside the threshold of no man's land, let me enter the history of the world. Now or never, forward in the fort. We go forward in the fort of time, in the fort of death. We go forward in the fort of time, in the fort of death. And you sit between borders, everyone carries his own state inside, and then we'll fall softly to the earth. Take me with you, I'm tethered to the perch. We go forward in the fort of time, in the fort of death. We go forward in the fort of time, in the fort of death. We are not yet born, so let's descend. We are now the time, my old friend.
Descend by Lindsay Page Garfield. And this is Greg Berger here on Unfinished Music. And our guest is, of course, Lindsay Garfield. And Mark Laura joins us as co-host. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Lindsay.
So, Lindsay, we're going to hear another song from you.
Yeah. This song, it's called Between Beats, and I wrote it about a drummer. yeah, I actually wrote it about... thinking I fell in love and realizing that I wasn't in fact in love at all. And it's about a guy who plays drums. And so there are a lot of rhythm metaphors, I guess.
All right.
All right. This sweet stuff of prayers, a quiet kind of grace. And there's a calling echoing in your embrace. I kissed your weathered palm, your child eyes, your smooth cheek. There is a knowing in the dawn, and a stillness between beats, between beats. Be-e-e-e. and we unravel now the coming of the day. And time's liminal, we are floating out of phase. A year is like a sigh. So hold it here, don't push the pace. There is a knowing in the night, and a silence we can face. We can face. It's all over now, they're canceling the show. I think the more we try, the more we'll never know. I'd have loved you till the end. 10,000 miles between these streets, there's a light around the bend, and a solace between beats, between beats.
I like the others as well. I don't want to, you know.
What do you mean? You don't like the other ones,
Greg? Yeah, well, the other ones were not quite up to the same caliber.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, I like the what you were saying prior to the song, the metaphor on the beats,
yeah,
and the rhythm changes and stuff. And
thanks, yeah.
I happen to be a drummer, so I know.
Oh, I'm so sorry because I know I play it like super out of time. Like the whole song is like super herky-jerky.
No, I think
it's funny because it's like there's one part in the song where I'm like, I'm like floating out of phase and I'm like, everything's like out. Like I have to practice it with a metronome, I think. But hey, that's fine.
No.
Maybe it adds to it, actually.
I think it does, actually.
Yeah.
More authentic, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But yeah, that was a... I'm glad I got a song out of that guy. You know, I've written a lot of like breakup songs, you know, but this was super quick. I met him, you know, it was like this like whirlwind romance, 24-hour thing, and then it was like done. And then I got a song out of it, so...
Yeah, hey. It was worth it, right?
It was worth it. It was worth the pain.
So why don't we talk about where people can find you and your stuff and then talk about what next steps are.
Yeah, I'm really bad at social media. And
okay. Well, you have a website.
All the like work. I need a life manager. Yeah. I don't know if anyone wants to volunteer. I can't pay you anything.
Or an intern. You should get an intern.
Yeah, an intern. Yeah. So, my Instagram is just Lindsay Redd, L-I-N-Z R-E-D, like the color. And I'm on Page in the Thousand. I do have a Facebook page still up, so you can find me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And my website is lindseygarfieldmusic.com. I just made one, finally, after 20 years. And that's probably it, yeah.
All right. And so Page in the Thousand, P-A-I-G-E.
P-A-I-G-E. Yeah, and I'm on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Spotify under Page in the Thousand or The Whale. Or The Whale, there's another lead singer, but I do have some songs that I've written that I sing lead on.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
O-R, The Whale, like the animal. And what's the other thing? Oh, yeah, Bandcamp.
I was going to say Bandcamp.
Yeah, I'm on Bandcamp.
Yeah, okay.
So that's where you can find me.
You're playing around?
I'm playing around, yeah. I played at Opus in Salem, Salem, Mass.
Solo?
Solo, yeah, yep. With a songwriter in the round night. Mm-hmm. Recently. And I don't have anything on the books, but...
All right, but as you said,
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Keep me posted. I'll share it on the page and promote it. But in the meantime, between regular gigs, you're trying to hit up open mics.
Yeah, I just played one. I'm actually playing an open mic at Lizard Lounge on the 16th. That's in Cambridge. And yeah, I'm trying to do one every week. I just did one at this place called the Indo. It's this little Irish pub in Beverly.
Oh, cool.
That was cool. Where
is that? Is it on Rantoul or Cabot?
It's on Cabot.
Okay.
And it's Monday nights. And every other week, this guy named Colorado Bob runs it. Yeah. And he's great. He's like, he plays mandolin and guitar. And he has like fiddlers. And it's like this real bluegrassy kind of vibe. And all play together.
Yeah.
And that, I was really tickled. I was like, wow, this is really, it was really a cool scene. So...
Well, the open mic that's where I discovered you.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, at Minglewood, yes.
Yeah, and actually, my last guest, surnames, were you play the guy that played guitar with you.
Uh-huh.
He's in that band, so.
Okay.
Christian Toller.
Cool.
And Liam. So it's a great place for me to find people. And,
yeah.
And it's a good place to
For artists to meet. It's a cool hang for musicians. I hope to do another one of those soon, because that was really such a pleasure, and it was like a surprise that he allowed me to sing, especially not knowing.
It's pretty open.
Yeah, it seemed like.
It's very,
hence the
very
name.
Open.
And
open,
I know.
Open.
It's not like a semi-open mic.
Yeah, no.
I know.
But
they do. Well, sometimes they're a curated.
Yeah,
you know,
right. They do a good job at matching people up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's actually because I'm really not that good at jamming per se, and I went with my band before you, but Black Sheep Stampede. And then they're like, hey, can you play bass with these guys? And I don't do blues. But anyway, you know, I can fake it.
You can fake it.
So I was like, okay.
We were all fake, you know, fabulously faking it up there. Dennis is the nicest.
Monocle.
Monocle?
Yeah.
He's the nicest guy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they do a great job. And there's a lot more room than when it was at another place. I don't want to be crazy. The other place is a great spot too.
Yeah,
but it was a very small stage, so there's a lot more elbow room at the
more space. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll definitely be back there.
So
sure.
You're working on a new EP, or
I'm just writing right now.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm also a parent child music teacher. That's what I did in LA as well, and I'm trying to start up classes here in the
North
Shore.
North Shore.
Yeah.
Are you living in Salem now? Or
I live in Swampscott now.
Swampscott, okay.
Yeah. And I've been trying to start a class at the Reach Arts, which is this wonderful art center there. So that's kind of what I've been focusing all of my spare time doing.
Really? So what is the parent-child? Is it like... together? Or?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, it's a zero to four mm-hmm. guardian child introduction to music class.
Yeah.
And it's basically child development through the discovery of music. And I sing in songs. I do original music and classic children's songs in English and Spanish.
Nice.
So, and yeah, you would think, right? I think I'm just bad at promotion, so this is a good way to promote it.
You did mention you also speak Portuguese and Italian.
Yes, I speak Spanish and Portuguese and some Italian. So
and English.
And I speak English too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's good to know. So if any parents out there have, I assume a bilingual aspect would be pretty cool if you have.
Yeah, that's really what I'm trying to, you know, because it's great for their little developing brains to hear and sing in different languages. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've got two little grandchildren, three and almost one, and I've got a baby grand up the stairs, and recently they've both been sitting at it. You're not playing, but.
Yeah. Tinkling.
And I tell them don't, because it's my daughter's piano, and she gets angry if they stop pounding it. So they're learning to do it nice
well, it's
and
a
soft.
Baby
gentle.
Yeah. Gentle.
Yeah, that's a good way to learn, yeah. Yeah, I bring little instruments and little, like, scarves, and it's really fun.
So it's visual and
yes,
musical.
It's tactile learning, it's audio, it's visual. We do mini meditation, we do cozy time, I play them, I have, like, lullabies that I've written for that story time. Yeah, I pack a lot in. It's 45 minutes.
All right.
Sounds like it.
So we're burying the lead. How do people find
it? So they can contact me directly at lgarfieldmusic@gmail.com or just go to my website and there's a tab for Cricket Music and a contact page. It's lindsaygarfieldmusic.com.
Excellent. All right. Well, looks like we're coming up to the end here, but let me just say real quick, Greg Verga here on Unfinished Music. Today our guest has been Lindsay Garfield, and thank you so much, Lindsay, for coming up here.
Thank you guys so much. It's been really fun.
You did get to have breakfast here in Gloucester, you said, in your text this morning. So
I did, yes.
All right, good. Yeah. Do you want to say where? Give them a plug?
No.
Okay. McDonald's. Anyway.
I've heard that there are many fabulous places to have breakfast here in Gloucester, and I'm very excited to try out other places.
Yes, okay, that's fair enough.
Yes, so, I'm being very diplomatic about it.
And as someone in the restaurant biz, you would understand. So,
yes.
And so, thank you, Lindsay. And thanks to Mark, Laura, our co-host today.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lindsay.
Mark was a last-minute sub for my last show. Today it was planned ahead, but the last show, the co-host who was going to come got called into work, and Mark came with half an hour's notice.
Oh, wow.
So that's
a pinched hit. Wow.
Yeah, not right. bad.
Yeah.
And as we said, he's got the the voice for radio.
He certainly does.
So again, it's Greg Verga here on Unfinished Music. If you have a suggestion, you, the listener, have a suggestion for someone who'd be a good guest, you can contact me at greg@gregverga.com or you can call me direct 508-284-3399. The only catch is it has to be original music. We don't allow covers. So we're going to go out with the final song with Baby, It's Time. All right.
How about Billy's Blues?
Billy's Blues.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, because you didn't play it. Right?
Yeah, I didn't play it. So.
All right, so we're going to go out with a song called Billy's Blues. But if you want to hear Baby, It's Time, check out the Bandcamp page. So go to lindsaygarfieldmusic.com to get all the links to these. And, Jeff, definitely check out the was the NPR show again?
NPR Mountain Stage.
Mountain Stage. It was a really good show. I enjoyed it. So here we go with Baby's Blues.
Billy got fired and I came out to see him. Called me up at night. He was scarred across the brow. Ooh, and I asked how. Called me up at 2 a.m. Arms cut and fingers, they're all broken, Billy. Ooh, what you gonna do now? Said you got a brother in San Quentin. Billy, what you gonna do now? Said, Mama, it's not my fault. Was the other guy, you know he came at me. Ooh, he came at me with a knife. Said, Mama, it's not my fault. Was the other guy? You know I can't say for sure. Ooh, but Billy's getting ready to settle the score. He's gonna settle the score. Said you got a brother in San Quentin. And Billy's gonna settle the score. Oh, brother, you're never gonna rise again. Get tired, take another. This happens when, happens when, this happens when this woman sucks a marrow right from your bones, from your bones, right from your bones. And you will know such sorrow. Never been alone, been alone, never 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 been alone. Never been alone, been alone, been alone, been alone, been alone, been alone, been alone. Billy got fired and I came out to see him. Called me up at night. He was scarred across the brow.